Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. I am your host today. This is Katie. Welcome back to everybody. This episode, we are going to be talking about red ale. So it could be a divisive subject if you come to certain categories of red ale. We're going to talk about them all. My co-host today, we have Tandy. Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
We have Lisa.
Say hello. Hello.
And we have Bean. Say hello, Bean.
Hey, guys.
Just a reminder to people that you can watch this on YouTube. We now have our vanity headline. Is that what it's called?
57, the headline, us.
We have our vanity address. I don't know what it's called.
We have a vanity URL. Yes.
And I did do some testing to make sure that it did work and everything. So if you go to youtube.com/beerladiespodcast, you can find all of our season one episodes and you can continue to watch all of our season two episodes. We are also on Twitter where we are at Beer Ladies Pod due to our limit of characters, and everywhere else on Instagram, we are at Beer Ladies Podcast. And we're at Facebook, but we don't really update that very often. So I wouldn't use that as a primary source of information from us. Okay. So tonight we're talking about red ales and all the different types of red ales that there are. So I know of 5 different types. Is that about average?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Mm. So we have the oldest one would be the Flemish red, which is quite a sour. Then we have, I see hoppy reds. A hoppy red, mm-hmm. A red rye, and there's the British red, and then the Irish red ale. And I think that's where the controversy comes from.
The American homages to said, the only 5 red ales I know are Smittick's.
And we'll talk about that. It wasn't always red and isn't really now, but we'll get to that.
Exactly. Yeah. Consternation is going to be deeply felt.
So where do we want to start? Who has a good story about red ales? Oh, sorry. What are we drinking? It's been summer break. I've completely forgotten all about what are we drinking.
Still on holiday brains.
My brain is melted. I do apologize, people. What are we drinking? Because it wouldn't be the Beer Ladies podcast if we were not drinking some delicious beer. And this evening, we all have some degree of red ale. Some might be more tangential. Is that a word?
Than others? Absolutely.
We'll start with Tandy.
Cool. So I'll be a rebel. When I think of red ales, I don't just think of an Irish or an English red ale. I think of amber ales. So the hoppier varieties, the more American hopped versions. So I have one that I've never seen before, actually. It's by Dot Brew. It's called Intersection Amber. Now, remember, everybody, that every time we call out for new styles, they somehow magically appear. Like, we're wishing these things into existence. And Hillary, in particular, has been screaming for amber ales. So, Hillary, if you're listening, there's a new one for you. It's very tasty. I've got it here for those who are not watching. Just in my light, it doesn't look super red. But if I look into it, it's quite coppery rather than red, but it's quite coppery. It's not completely clear. It's got a little bit of a haze to it. And it's almost quite tropical, quite fruity. So very much American style hoppy red or amber ale. So, yeah, no, it's great.
And we'll move on to Lisa. What are you drinking?
So I have the 8 Degrees Sunburnt Irish Red. And again, we will talk a little bit more about what that means or doesn't mean, or if it ever meant anything. Ooh, but it is kind of like Tandy's. It is this sort of lovely, really ambery color, sort of, you know, coppery, caramelly kind of color. Very clear, though, in this case. I would say flavor-wise, and I think we'll talk a little bit about this, this is much more on the kind of sweet end when it comes to your Irish reds. And I think there's quite a spectrum these days. Mm. And we'll chat more about sort of how that came to be, or if it even really means anything. Ooh, what does it say? What does it mean? But this particular one is very much kind of on that end, although it's only, is it 5%? So relatively low key, but definitely, you know, not a lot of hops, just very, very caramelly. It really hits you with that kind of caramel kind of a flavor. But so far, enjoying.
And Bean, what are you drinking?
The thing that made it into the frame was the 4.4 Galway Bay Ale, Red Ale. And I would say this is probably more bitter than some of the things that maybe I might have had in this category. But it is quite coppery. It may be... It looks really dark in this camera, in the Rascal's glass. But to me, in a certain light, I can actually see quite a copper through it. So it's pretty clear, not too much by way of anything. So I kind of like the bitter.
I'm drinking a Raglan Road Red Ale from Brehon. It is from their Kavanagh collection. And it just says a traditional Irish red Irish ale with russet red hues, a slightly malty, nutty flavor, hopped with Magnum and Willamette. There you go. It's really nice and darker, I think, than some of your other ones. And it's quite malty. It's really, really nice. It's 4.5% and nice session beer. Not that I need to be encouraged. But we're recording on a Monday night, so I shouldn't be encouraged.
Okay, so here it is. I want to ask the question, right? What is the difference, or is there really such thing as an Irish red ale?
Right into the controversy pool. I love it.
Gotta go into it.
Can I just be a punter? Because that's the only... I was like creeping on different people's bitterness units and different colors and pale malt and, you know, how roasting the barley differently and a little bit and crystal malt. And at the end of the day, like... as a punter, if I go in and I ask for a red ale, I probably am going to be expecting something that's quite clear. So ale yeast or lager yeast, something that doesn't actually have a lot of haze, something that doesn't have a lot of hops, unless it's labeled, this is hoppy red ale, hooray! And I would be expecting something that's quite coppery with a hint of ruby. Is what I would expect to, and not too much of all of the levels. Just, you know, that's what I'd be expecting. So that's my base level.
Yeah.
The first time I ever had a Flanders Red, I didn't understand the style, and I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting. It's a little bit sour.
Oh, but it was different. Yeah.
But that would be the only exception, I suppose. To this, is that the only sour red, or are there more? Or an
well,
sour.
You could put a lot of different red colored ales into like an American wild ale category. Oh. But of the broad styles, right? So maybe it's actually worth starting here. Of the broad styles, there seems to be American red ales, which are much more colloquially called amber ales anyway. So amber ales, red ales, and then Flanders red or Flemish red. The Flanders are the sours. The Irish are the Irish or UK, and we'll get into that. And they're more of the balanced malt forward, so not too hoppy sort of beers. And I want to just remind myself for later, hoppy and bitter is not the same thing in this case, because they do have bitterness. They just don't have a lot of hop flavor. So that's a distinguishing factor. And they're definitely more on the sort of slightly sweeter side, but slightly more balanced than what you'd find then in the American side, which is the amber ales. And they're much more, that's taking a red ale and amping it up, you know, putting slightly different hops in, maybe even different yeasts. You know, there's a different set of characteristics that come with amber ales than what will come with a red ale. And then the Flanders is obviously all on its own in its delicious corner.
Absolutely. Well, and it's an interesting thing too to think about. Like if you had only known sort of, you know, Irish reds, and let's say that very generically, and you order, yeah, a Flemish red, thinking you're going to get the same thing. That's got to be a shock. You know, you're not expecting that. That's going to be a very different flavor profile. So I'm sure that's happened to someone, though. Like you're saying, Katie, that's, weren't expecting. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just a very different kettle of fish.
It's actually quite likely to happen to me now, even after this. I'll be like, I expect this. Oh, I forgot where I was.
You have been forewarned, Bean.
Mm.
Okay.
I know. Look right, look left. Who even knows what side of the road we're on here?
But it's interesting in thinking about, you know, the different characteristics and how one might judge or not judge and talking about homebrewing. You know, there's only been an Irish red category in the BJCP guidelines since, I think, 2004. Like, it was a relatively new style, mm-hmm. new style in air quotes. Well, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but when I first sort of sat down to do my BJCP exam, which I think was in 2007, it was still like, oh, this is new. But there was this whole sort of mythos, and at least in North America, and I don't know, Bean, you can speak to the Canadian bit, but I do know that there was this sort of prevailing sort of received wisdom that in retrospect is crazy. But at the time, you know, people like to pat themselves on the head and feel like they were very, you know, oh, all these people off getting Guinness or, you know, just a sort of standard stout for St. Patrick's Day, they should be getting a red ale. That's a real traditional Irish beer. That's, you know, what my great-grandfather would have been drinking, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you unpack that and that's complete nonsense. But it's interesting that people like to feel they were a little smarter than just by going for something different. Instead of saying, oh, there's something a little different, maybe I'll try it. There was a little bit of a sort of frisson of, look how clever I am. I'm special. So that, I think there is that element, at least in North America.
So where did it come from?
It's pretend! Woo! It's all made up. Now, that's not to say there weren't, you know, certainly, you know, I mean, anyone who's been brewing for centuries, you're eventually going to do this by accident or yep. even on purpose.
It's we're going to get to that later.
You know, exactly. But, you know, we have to, obviously, whenever we talk beer history, we're not going to go heavy on beer history today, but just a little bit. We can't not, you know, cite Martin Cornell and Ron Pattinson. And it's so timely because Martin Cornell just had a delightful, you know, Irish red ale as a, basically as a sort of thing. And I've got it here in front of me. It just starts with how one Irishman's ginger beard helped launch an entirely bogus style of beer. And it is an utter delight. We're going to link it in the show notes. Highly, highly recommend everyone go through and read it. But it's really, you know, a French brewery. The 1970s, Coors, all of these things come together to make kind of the most ludicrous sort of, almost sort of like parody of an Irish beer, and so Irish people wearing caps, et cetera, you know, smoking pipes, the full thing. I also recommend looking up some of the adverts for Killian's when it first came out, because you have Christopher Plummer pretending to be Irish. So there, I got a Canadian angle in there, Christopher Plummer, but it's magical.
Canadian with added Paddy Wackery.
Yes, exactly. But it's the whole article is utterly fascinating. Highly, highly recommend a read. But it was really just that the French brewery wanted to kind of add something to their portfolio. They came across George Killian Lett, who was, you know, George Killian is what they were making as sort of their family thing. And they're like, that sounds Irish. Let's use that. But, you know, this is not starting out as, you know, anything sort of red. It's really actually based on what had been their strong ale, which was just kind of an amped up pale ale, and off we went. And so again, highly recommend people read the whole article, because again, it is an absolute delight. There are just some wonderful, wonderful phrases in it all across, but it is, yes, sheer Paddy Wackery from start to finish. So it's up there with like Wild Mountain Thyme as a kind of
don't get thing. Me started.
But no one turned, oh, we shouldn't spoiler the film.
We shouldn't spoil it, but if there's any apiarists out there, or are they people who keep bees and stuff?
Yeah, that sounded right.
That's fair.
An
that's
apiary fair. Needs an.
It's a very strange movie. Have you seen it, Tandy?
No.
Oh, it's
no.
deeply strange.
It's very yeah. strange.
I'm feeling so lost. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So it's an Irish movie.
Okay.
Starring Jamie Dornan, who is Irish,
right.
putting on a terrible Irish accent, like
how
it's
does
not
that happen
his accent. Canada? Well, he's got a Nordy accent, whereas right. I think it's supposed to be in Mayo or Connemara or something. And Emily Blunt stars opposite him, and it's like they're in love with each other. Are they not in love with each other? What the hell is going on? And when you find out what is going on, you're like, what just happened there? Because I don't understand any of this. What the hell?
I feel like Tandy and I know how you feel. We're totally confused. We haven't seen this movie.
Oh, so you don't even need to see the movie. Just go watch the trailer. You've done it. You've done enough work if you've seen the trailer, frankly. But there is, to Katie's point, it gets weird. It's called Wild Mountain Time. It was based on a Broadway play that people loved and thought was very worthy and delightful. But then, wow.
Bonkers. Okay.
It takes a turn. I'll just say that.
If you watch the trailer, then I can fill you in on what happens at the end, and you'll be like, what? You know, literally, it's like, what on earth is he doing? What? Like, what?
Exactly. Exactly. But tangent, an important tangent, because it is culturally, wow, it's all happening. But, you know, again, when we sort of unpack the history, and then, so again, Martin does this great job of, getting you all the sort of relatively recent things from the 1970s. And then Ron Pattinson has had some delightful, delightful things sort of going on, saying, well, all of these things that are now branded as, you know, Irish Red used to just be a pale ale, or basically an Irish interpretation of what would be a sort of normal English bitter, sometimes a brown ale, sometimes a mild, especially I think some of these that tend toward the more sweet end of the spectrum. You can see a lot of similarity there, where you've got kind of the sort of caramel color, not that mild always had to be, but, you know, more recently has been, you know, kind of lower alcohol, low hops, you know, they're all in there. And I think it's an interesting thing for me too, especially to think about kind of the relationship between kind of this and then bitters, because I love bitters. I can never find any, at least here in Ireland. There's very, very few of them, but I can see this kind of fills the same niche to a certain extent. But then again, they really took off in North America sort of post 1970, not just because of the completely crazy one that Coors essentially put out there, but you get a couple out there. All the microbreweries started putting them out. Michael Jackson noticed them. You have his little pocket guide to beer here, where at a certain point, he's like, oh yeah, they're making all these Irish red ales. Huh, that's interesting. And people were like, it's a style, it exists. And just tons and tons of microbreweries started making them. And in fact, one of my favorites is Carl Strauss Red Trolley Ale from Southern California. Gorgeous, but I don't know that I would drink it and think, oh yes, that is an Irish red ale. I would think, oh, that's an interesting pale ale, maybe even a brown ale. And again, one of the ones that I really like here in Ireland is Heaney's Red Ale, but it's really a brown ale. It could go either way. So I don't know. I think, Tandy, you've got some brewing smarts to lay on us that will speak to this.
I do. And it completely verifies what you're saying there in a lot of ways, because an Irish Red Ale, in air quotes now, has a very, very similar ingredient base to a lot of other beers. I think, you know, for the most part, it's only really characterized by the fact that it's got a certain level of bitterness, again, in air quotes, because it's a very big spectrum, a certain level of maltiness, and again, a very big spectrum, and it's of a certain color. As Lisa was saying now earlier, if you're a home brewer of any kind, like if you've literally brewed three beers, you'll have probably brewed a beer this color.
Yeah.
And it's because it doesn't come from anything as magical as red malt, although you can brew it with malts that are redder, but it would actually come from the varying amounts of crystal malts and roasted malts that will add color. But because they're very, very concentrated, you don't add them in big amounts. So you're adding small amounts of them. They add, I mean, crystal malt, depending on the kind, but it'll add caramel or toffee, which is very much in the wheelhouse of a red ale. And it'll add that color, that little bit of color. I mean, even if you use plain, like pale malt, you're pretty much almost nearly at this color anyway. You know, you kind of don't need to do that much to get to this kind of coppery, ambery color. Now, when you go into the deep garnets, almost like what Katie's got for those on the podcast, not on YouTube, but hers was very lipstick red, like lovely, lovely garnety red. That you'd probably find has got like a red X or something in it to give it that extra redness. But I mean, it's just actually pale malt, normally Maris Otter, so normally a UK-based pale malt. It's normally UK hops. So we're talking Fuggles, East Kent Goldings. So those are slightly floral, slightly spicy, but they're not fruity. They're not tropical. So that's the big difference for red ales. Because you're adding then these different malts, so crystal and roasted malt, in small quantities, it will give you that color. So it's very much it's kind of a middle of the road beer. Like there's nothing super special about it. I mean, they're lovely, but there's no trickery that goes into making a red ale. But where they do differ is between the three broad types. So between a UK/Irish red ale, which is going to be more malt forward, you know, what you're looking for in that, you're definitely looking for it to not be tropical. Firstly, that would be the biggest no-no. So not too bitter is one, but not too tropical or hoppy tasting is another. And I'll get to that again. We want it to be balanced, but slightly to the side of the sweet. So just a tint, just a lean over there. But it's not meant to be sweet. It's actually meant to be very well balanced. It's just that the hops are not the thing that you notice about those. And then the yeast character, you know, I've read that you can brew them with lager or ale yeasts.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting spin. I'd always thought that they were ale yeast only, but a lot of the English yeasts would give something akin to a buttery, like a diacetyl, because that's part of their yeast characteristics. Now, that is an accepted flavor within an Irish red. So if you've got a small amount of something that is a little bit toffee-like rather than caramel, which would almost just be pure sugar, if you've got a little...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A bit of a butteriness, that's acceptable. If it's too much, like if you really do notice it, then it's too much. You know, again, it's one of these kinds of styles that you've got quite a big range. You can almost do what you want as long as you stick into the ingredients. And then the only difference between the UK or the Irish style, which is, I mean, now it's recognized as the Irish style, and an amber ale is that amber ales will have American grains, so not necessarily as biscuity as something like a Maris Otter. So you'll have something a little bit more, slightly lower in color, not quite as biscuity, a lot more bready, plain. But then your crystal malts and your roasted malts will add the same colors pretty much, but then you hop them a lot more. So extra bittering, extra hopper, like hopping at the end, or dry hopping even to give it those flavors. So hoppy and malty, those are the main two. I want to touch quickly on hoppiness and bitterness. We'll be doing this quite soon on the podcast anyway for those who are regulars, but there is a very common misconception that hoppiness is the same as bitterness, and it isn't. You get things that add bittering qualities to your beer, and you would notice that your beer is balanced, if not to the side of bitterness, if you've added hops, but you can add many, many other things to beer to add bitterness. And all it's doing is counteracting the sweetness. So when things are fermenting, it's eating the sugars, So you're already going to have less sweetness, but adding the bittering just counterbalances anything that's left over anyway. There's many, many things that can give you bitterness. And normally bitterness doesn't have a flavor of its own. It's more like a, how do we describe this? Bitterness is an aftertaste more than a flavor.
Yeah, it's like a feeling on the back of your
tongue. Yeah, it's like a feeling. And sometimes it's a dryness. It depends. But sometimes it's a dryness. Sometimes it's something else. But hoppiness is different. Hoppiness is often, and the best way to learn about this is to go between IPAs. So East Coast and West Coast IPAs. So West Coast IPAs are traditionally bitter. East Coast are traditionally hoppy. So if you're thinking of hop flavors as in juicy, tropical, delicious things up front, but not finishing dry, hoppy. If you're thinking of something that is finishing off quite bitter, then you're thinking of something bitter. Most beers have both. So it's kind of tricky to work it out. But with an amber ale or even a red ale, it's a little bit different between them. But none like hoppiness, and bitterness are only relevant or only predominant in amber ales. So that's the American-styled red ales. In the Irish styles, they are actually bitter and they're allowed to be quite bitter. You just don't always notice it because you don't always have the hops up front. So you don't get those tropical, citrusy, piney, resiny flavors up front. So therefore, you don't associate it with a bitterness. But it is bitter because it's balanced.
Definitely. This one, it's malt. Like when you taste it initially, it's really, really malty. But then when you're swallowing it down, you definitely get that bitter aftertaste. But it's lovely. It's a nice flavor.
Yeah. And I find sometimes with the red ales, you get some, again, you can get some that are very, very, very sweet. And I don't tend to go for the ones that are so far to that one side. Like you say, they should be a little more balanced. But I think there are others too that get a kind of almost metallic taste. And again, I'm assuming that's based on the water profile. And sometimes that can go too far the other way too. But I feel like when it's just right, when it's in equilibrium, you get a kind of almost, again, it sort of goes with the copper color. You know, and again, your skin is making all of these connections for you anyway, but it's really interesting when you do have sort of have that color and you get that sort of almost sort of coppery metallic taste, but it's just the right amount. It goes too far and it's not good. But again, that's a combination, I'm assuming, of, you know, your water profile and your hops just doing happy things together if it's turned out right. And if it hasn't, then you're like, oh, we went too far in one direction.
Indeed. So what I had read, I've done an amber ale. I've brewed an amber ale before. I've never done a red ale. So I'll have to just report back when I've done that. But what I had read was that the real trick about brewing a red ale is being very cautious and very measured in how much crystal and how roasted barley you put in, because you only need almost the smallest amount to slightly change the color and to slightly add, you know, that bit of caramel and biscuit into it. But people often overdo it. And I think that's also where a bit of metallicness can probably come from. I think there's certain malts that add, and I think Vienna is actually one of them, that adds a bit of a metallic taste. So it's one of those things that you think you can just kind of throw some stuff in. But if you want to make a really well-balanced red ale, it's about precision and balance and careful measurement, as usual.
Like everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's so interesting that you can use, like you were saying, either ale or lager yeasts. And even some of the commercial examples have started life as one and morphed into the other. And it seems like without a huge sort of, without most people noticing, which is kind of an interesting thing. You'd think there would be a very noticeable difference. But then, you know, equally, you can think about like a nice Mertz, a nice Fest beer that's going to have a lot of kind of similar qualities that maybe you're just kind of be like, it's all good. It's all that, you know, kind of bready. Again, not, you know, malt forward, not hop forward. But you could see how they might play in the same space potentially and maybe also end up that same color.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose living in Ireland, I remember Smithwick's would have been a big one. Here, hands up who's had a Smithwick's?
Oh, so many.
I've actually got a story about this.
Okay, tell us your story.
So in 2016, I visited Ireland and it was totally unrelated to moving. I didn't even know it at all that we're going to be moving. But it was my 30th birthday and that was my thing. I was going to come and spend Paddy's Day in Dublin. What a noob. But we found ourselves big family holiday with cousins and family from all over the world. But we found ourselves all over the place. But in this specific case, it was in Adair, which is the most beautiful, like small villagey town thing outside of Limerick.
Little thatched cottages.
Gorgeous. Like it's just ridiculous. So we found ourselves there and I made friends with this Irish woman who was hysterically funny, and I just thought she was amazing. And I kept ordering Smithwick's on tap, right? Smithwick's, because my silly South African accent, you know, I must pronounce everything. And she hosed herself at me, and she's like, "It's Smithwick's. What you doing? It's Smithwick's."
I have also ordered some Smithwick's as well. Copious jugs of their, you know, things.
I reckon this is why Guinness launched Kilkenny, because it's so much easier to say than Smithwick's.
Didn't they buy Kilkenny?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I'm going to pull up Kilkenny in my great beer guide. Again, more Michael Jackson, because it speaks to a little bit about what you were saying before, that diacetyl and you know, this sort of real change in kind of how we perceive these things today, too, because I feel like, yeah. And in fact, when I tried to order some when I was in Kilkenny last year, they weren't actually brewing it because there weren't enough tourists to make it viable. But again, this is
quite sad, actually.
Back in the 90s, you know, we've got this look here. So for those at home, it's very sort of golden, really. Not what we would think of as, you know, air quotes red, but it's still listed here as Irish Red Ale.
Yeah.
But it does say, you know, under the Smithwick's name, the brewery produces a toffee-ish buttery ale with a touch of burnt toast in the finish. This is primarily sold in Ireland. Elsewhere in the world, a slightly stronger, drier, nuttier interpretation is sold as Kilkenny Irish Beer. So it's interesting that, you know, Smithwick's has been many different things in its, you know, relatively long life. It's also just been a straight up pale ale that was very much kind of a, you know, kind of colonial product, if you like, where it was just like, you know, there you go. But now it's this, you know, it's this very kind of, yeah, almost touristy thing. But yeah, it's a little bit sad that again, there's a little Kilkenny one, nice and golden. And maybe we'll take a picture for the show notes.
I haven't seen Kilkenny in years and years and years. I don't think it's as mainstream as it used to be at all.
No.
Let me tell you, my South African beer friends are devastated by this fact, because they love Kilkenny. Everybody loves Kilkenny. And I think that South Africa might be one of the last strongholds of people, you know, places that love Kilkenny. But it's not quite as common as Guinness, but it's much more common than it is here. Actually,
that's interesting. Well, it makes sense. I mean, you look at it's lighter, or just even in color, again, perception, you're going to think, oh, it's hot and want something light, refreshing.
Yeah.
Even if, again, a Guinness can also be those things, but you may reach for something you can sort of see through. Yeah. But I think the buttery piece I thought was really interesting, because I feel like when I've had it, I don't know that I've noticed that note. So again, is it made for local, made for export that has that? It's an interesting question. But again, when I think of, you know, very buttery sort of diacetyl beers, again, I think bitters, I think of, you know, very kind of English style beers, not really mild as much. I think really like certain bitters are so buttery. And sometimes you order that and think, oh, this is, you know, I didn't want to go to the cinema and get popcorn. This is a little much. But again, I love a good bitter. So, or I love my kind of bitter.
That's it. So effectively it was just a bitter that was slightly different color, and somebody caught it on, you know, let's make a marketing campaign, as Lisa said.
Yeah, exactly. All about the marketing.
Who can say what catches on?
Exactly.
You know, like, why did these things catch on? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing too. But again, think about how quickly, you know, some of these things change slowly and some change, you know, quite quickly, because in our, before we started, I think, Bean, you were talking about, you know, getting the Franciscan Well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Rebel Red. And again, here's another book. This is from 2000, also a Michael Jackson specialty. But he's talking about how, the Franciscan Well Rebel was a light hoppy lager. And now it's a red ale. And you wonder, is it that different necessarily? It's still a relatively light beer when I think about it. You know, did they just sort of put in more caramel malts, maybe sort of swap around the yeast and say, good enough?
Yeah, maybe they pitched in just a teaspoon more, because I did research as a tourist.
Yeah.
And so I'll just hold up my Franciscan Well. So one of these is the Rebel Red, the darker one, and one is the Chieftain Pale Ale.
Yes.
And like, I mean, one is hoppier for sure.
So for those listening along, Bean is showing a photo on her phone there of two pints.
Two brown beers.
Yep. One is more coppery, one is more red.
Yeah, there is not that a hell of a lot of a difference between the pair of them, in all fairness.
Same head, same clarity.
Absolutely. Well, and going back to this book, you know, thinking back to Murphy's, I only think about their stout, but back in the day, he said they have a lightly malty Irish red in the British market and a slightly more characterful amber in the US, basically the same beer, just slightly tweaked for the market. But I think, Jude, to get back to that kind of piece about, you know, people took this and ran with it in the US and Canada, and again, having this sort of idea of this great antiquity, partially because there are there's a medieval poem that talks about red beer, and everyone's like, that's it, that's the one, you know, notwithstanding that it probably didn't have hops and all these other things, but it's, you know, there was enough that people could tie it to and say, well, Yeats probably talked about it too, and it's all one thing. So,
and it's one of those things, because actually, if you even look at red ales versus brown ales, you know, they don't always have that much of a difference between them.
I agree.
They're kind of similar. Like, okay, a brown ale might have a bit of chocolate malt, which will give it a slightly different flavor, but it doesn't have to. So,
yeah. Well, I go back to the Heaney one, which I think is a gorgeous, gorgeous beer. They're red. To me, it's a brown ale. I think they've admitted as such on the internet. It's basically the same, but it's a wonderful, wonderful beer. And I can, you know, totally appreciate it. Again, I know we want to put it out there in the universe, more brown ale. I'm also just happy to have more reds on that end of the spectrum. It's all fine.
Definitely.
I can predict a whole episode dedicated to brown ales in our not too distant future.
I could see it happening.
I'm in. The fun part is sourcing the different beers, right? So like finding the interesting ones. So if we can get every brewer now, please, in the country, make an excellent brown ale so that we've got lots of choice, so we can do another episode. And just by the by, move on to the Wildfire Hoppy Red Ale by Wickler Wolf.
Uh-huh. See, it says hoppy on it, so you know.
It does. It does. But you see, I've got a slight issue with that, actually. Why not just call it an amber ale? Because,
right,
you know, that's how it's known everywhere else. But anyway, I did want to mention, though, that there are maybe a couple of, we didn't really touch on Flanders Red, but Flanders we did touch on a little bit in our sours episode, so you can always go look for that. But there are a couple of mentions of beers that are red, but not necessarily their own styles, like red IPAs.
Yeah.
So red IPAs, very much the same as an amber ale, or just an IPA that has got a red color. No, remember, we did this on IPAs, guys. Like, we can call everything an IPA if we want to.
Absolutely. Throw enough hops in, you're like, it's an IPA.
Yeah. You're good. It's an IPA. So then, Katie, I know you mentioned like a red rye ale. So I probably wouldn't consider that its own style in itself, because rye is just one of the ingredients that you might brew. But it does add itself, doesn't it?
Mm.
Like, rye adds its own flavor, which is really cool. And then the different sours or the different wild things that you can do that end up being red are always worth a mention, just because, you know, as Bean said, you might not see it on the can. So buyer beware.
Absolutely. Yeah, know what you're buying. Or at least ask a knowledgeable person who's going to be cool about sharing their knowledge and not be all like, I know the secret thing. You know, those people are no fun.
Like, people going, yeah, Katie, go on, order the Flanders Red. No one, I hate fizzy cola bottle, you know.
And you hate sour things, Katie. It's hysterical.
I know.
And then there was only one more thing that I wanted to add from a kind of a brewing or a serving perspective, and that is you do get some red ales that are served on nitro, which really does add to that mouthfeel. So you already think of an Irish red. Now I'm talking an Irish red now. I said Irish, didn't I? An Irish red, you think of it as being a little bit more creamy and a little bit more almost sweet. And when you serve it on nitro, it can add to that. So, you know, you wouldn't probably serve an amber ale on nitro because I don't think it would really make sense.
We have to try it with the Wisdom Ale from Elbow Lane, which is possibly, might be an amber. I couldn't figure it out. It was awfully red.
What is that, Bean?
In Cork, Elbow Lane does a thing called Wisdom Ale, which is, well, I think they say it's an amber, but I have to say I found it to be kind of red. Well, we have to experiment.
Yeah, well, I'm going back to Cork in October, so, you know, I can
off you go.
I can go look into this. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, like you say, what ones I've had on nitro. I want to say, like, back in the mid 90s in the UK, there was Caffrey's on nitro everywhere, which was just as an Irish ale, just very generic. And it was just like, here's this kind of foamy thing and off you go.
I had forgotten about Caffrey's. Yeah, that's a thing as well.
I had to look it up and I'm like, was it red? It's like, ish.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go on a tangent here. Has anybody seen the ad for the new Guinness can with the nitro pouring spout?
I haven't seen it yet. Oh.
No. What do you mean the nitro pouring spout, Katie? What are you telling me?
It's a Guinness nitro can. I don't know if it has like the nitrogen in a little hub at the top and when you open it and then it has a little spout. I've just seen a picture. I haven't seen this in real life.
So it's like widget 2.0. Yeah, it's...
Oh, okay. Because the widget already provides the nitro. Well, not provides.
But wasn't there a worldwide shortage of widgets? So maybe this is a redesign.
There was.
And they re-engineered it. I saw a picture and I was like, what is that? So you don't pour it through the ring pull thing. You pour it through. It comes with a little spout.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
If I can find the picture, I will share it.
No, I'll have to look at that. And now this is terrible because I looked up Caffrey's. Is Caffrey's beer still available? I'm like, lads, it wasn't that good. Like, it was cheap. But yeah, it was but the beer you got on Nitro if you didn't get Guinness. It was the other one. I guess, yeah, it did. I do remember that it had, again, at least living in the UK in the 90s, I remember they had Paddy Wackery adverts about it. But I can't remember anything substantial about it apart from it was pretty foamy. Like, that's... legit, all I remember.
Have we run our course on red ales? Is that, have we anything notable else to say?
Thanks, Rickards Red, for all those many, many, many jugs of campus. Just many jugs of ale to share with your friends on campus when I was just a young thing in Canada. And of course, the Smittics, of course. Don't knock what your grandpa drinks. He's probably spent many years finding a good, solid, consistent pint.
Absolutely.
You know what? You can't beat consistency, can you? If you know exactly what you're getting, then you know what, go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No judgment here.
I think on that note, we'll kind of start to finish up. People out there, please follow us on Twitter. Follow at Beer Ladies Pod and on Instagram at Beer Ladies Podcast, and you can watch us and you can actually see the colours of our red ales on YouTube, on youtube.com/Beer Ladies Pod. You people are gesturing at me and I don't know what they mean. What are you saying? Oh, you're just showing. They're showing what's left.
We're just showing the colour of our red ales.
They're just showing that we have actually been drinking
on a school night. But you know, again, red ale only about 5%, not a bad weeknight beer. So
it's brilliant. I actually was Holy Communion dress shopping for my niece at the weekend, and I spent my day on red ales in Sweetman's in town, and it was delicious. So there you go. So on that note, I think we'll all say goodbye. Have I forgotten to say anything? I think I have it all. That's the end of our episode.
And we'll be back next week. We'll be back next week. We're back. We're back. We're bad. It's all happening. So,
and we are wherever you get your podcasts. So if you're on Apple, if you're on the Play Store, if you're on a Buzzsprout, anywhere, Spotify, if it has podcasts, we're there. Okay. So the Beer Ladies Podcast.
You're here.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.